Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to talk about how parents can manage the turbulent feelings when their child makes undesirable choices. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and welcome to my Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their story of inspiration and learning, because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from our guest speaker, Laura Rutter. Now, Laura Rutter has a powerful story about the emotions that she endured and overcame as a parent of two prodigal children. She has some good advice and action tips that are going to help all parents who are going through the emotional pain of negative and unexpected life choices their children have made. Thank you for being with me today.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Well, I want to start with your story. But before I get to your story, I also want you to define very quickly to me what you mean by prodigal or wayward or rebellious children, so that we can all be on the same page as we start our journey here with you today.
Yes, that sounds good. The word prodigal comes from, it's a biblical term. It's not actually in the Bible, but that's what we call the story of the prodigal child. And the prodigal, more of an easy definition of that is someone who has walked away from their Christian values, so that they are now living a different lifestyle than what the way that they were raised. And a wayward child is someone who's just behaving, living different from their race. We don't put the word Christian values in that one particular one. The word rebellious is somebody's just intentionally defying their parents, intentionally living and behaving in a way that's very oppositional. So, yes.
So tell us a little bit about your story now and where you're coming from.
Well, I could say I'm an expert in this field because I've lived the weariness, the shame, the embarrassment, the heartache, all the different emotions that come with being a parent of a prodigal, wayward, rebellious child. And I actually have had two of them. And so they were raised in a Christian home and decided to go out on their own and do their own living. But because of this, I've overcome a lot of it and experienced things. And now I've got more of the renewed confidence. I've got the peace of mind. I've got the inner strength that is needs to help other people. And you need these things. It can be very tough. And everybody has a different story. There are different ways that children can be prodigal, different ways they can be rebellious or wayward. There's no one set definition as far as any particular family is experiencing.
Now, I like to say that expectations is the death of connection. It seems like we have, from the moment our children our babies, even before that, when we find out when we're pregnant, we got this vision in our head. This is how things are going to be. We're going to be like this. I'm going to be this kind of parent. You got the imagery in your head of weddings and babies and family gatherings and all this stuff. And then reality hits in as your children grow. And there's always some faltered expectations. In all different directions of life, right? Yeah. And it's just so difficult. So tell me a little bit about the feelings and emotions that you had going through this process of your children not exactly doing what you expected them to do.
Yeah. One thing I went through, there's many emotions, and it could be different for anybody, but I think the main ones we feel are you're just really embarrassed. You have raised these children or child, and you know, everybody thinks they're doing their best job, and all of a sudden you're not, is what you think. And you're embarrassed, so you don't want anybody to know about it. And especially if you're a person that's in a high profile situation, somebody that's a pastor, I mean, even celebrities have these things, musicians, Christian musicians, they can experience this, and many of them have. And so you're embarrassed and you're like, I don't want anybody to know about this. I don't feel like I can talk to anybody. But we have to know and remember on that one that, all people have problems. And, people have skeletons in their closets. And, not everybody, as we say, air quotes, not everybody knows. You may think that they do, but they don't. So another emotion that I went through was guilt, is what did I do wrong? Or where did I go wrong? And could I have prevented this? Well, you look at all these scenarios and you want to beat yourself up, and you, but I want the parents to remember too that, God gave us free will, and your child has free will too. And I say child, I mean a teen, I mean adult also. There's just prodigal, wayward, rebellious can be all ages. So, but we could say, what did I do wrong? What could I have prevented? And remember that the child has free will, that nobody is a perfect parent, that we do the best that we can at the time. And mostly we think we are doing the best. And you know what? We are. We are doing a really good job. If you're an intentional parent, and you are doing the best that you can. And so remember that one too. Another one I had was shame. Oh my goodness. Shame is just so painful. It's humiliating, and it's too much that a person can put on themselves. You can put the shame on yourself, the shame blame game on yourself, and that is just not a good thing. So I want parents to remember, don't get stuck there. Be proud of your parenting. Be proud of all the positives that came out of your parenting. Be proud of all the positives that your child is still doing. And look at it that way. So don't have the shame and don't put that on your shoulders. I'm going to give one more too. A fourth one I have is hope. So never give up expecting your child to return back that the way that they were raised, or expecting them to turn away from the way that they are acting or behaving or living right now. Never give hope on that. I want you to acknowledge your feelings too. Always acknowledge your feelings. There's hope in, okay, this is the way I feel, but what's the positive in on the of the other side of a negative? And never give hope up hope, because you can pray about this. You can pray about this. You God knows what's going on in your life. He sees, he knows, and yes, he does have great plans for you. He does have great plans for your child. So never give up hope at all, because God really truly knows. So yeah. So those were some of the emotions that I went through. That was just a little touch. How's that? A little taste.
I like that. Yeah. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch more. And it feels overwhelming and all consuming. And from my experience, when something happens that I'm just like, oh, it's heavy hearted. Like your heart just feels so like a rock in the middle of your chest. And why? Because we love our kids so much, right? We love our children so much. We want the best for them. And of course, in our mind, our parental mind, we're like, we know what's best. And whatever it is that they did or chose or whatever, we're just feeling, oh, but that's the hard way. Why are you picking that? It feels like so many times. But as a parent, we do really need to step back and have grace. Another impactful parent quote by Christina is, I like to tell my parents that I work with that you may have given a life, but it's not your life to live. And if you control your child too much and you're trying to live their life for them, they will just rebel, and the
Yes, they will.
connection you'll have will dissipate. And so it is not your life to live. You have to let them fall, get up, make the mistakes, learn on their own. And we're just really there to help support them and hopefully instill some values in them that last a lifetime. So
Yep, that is very, very correct. And it's the emotions can be really thick too whenever your child is actually living in the home if they're a teen. because you want to fix everything. And the difference also when your child is an adult, because they can be estranged from you. And so therefore you aren't seeing them all the time and you wonder what's going on, what's happening in their life. And some parents I know can say, is my child still alive? Because I haven't heard from them in a long time. So yes, there are so many emotions that go with this because we want the best for our children. And like I said, we thought we did the best and we did as we were raising them, but they are not us either. And they're not our personalities either. And so therefore they have to live their own life and they have to, like you said, figure things out, make their own choices, whether they're good or bad. And we can't be there to scold. We can't always be there to pick them up because they need to learn. And we should not be enablers either of their situation.
I want to get back more into all those feelings and how we can help parents do some action items so they can do that. But before I do that, I do have a question for you specifically about a rebellious child when it comes to religion. Now, there are certain topics, I could probably name a good five off the top of my head, that are really hit kind of deeper when your kid decides to go a different direction than how you wanted them to go. But religion is one of those. And it's seated so much in the identity of us as people, as parents, whatever your faith or beliefs might be, it's part of who you are. And so when your child decides to not go that direction, and again, it comes from this place of love where we want so much for them and we want them to, you know, be in the realm of what we believe, because we obviously think that our belief is a good way, right? So
absolutely.
When that rebellion happens, and I know there's a lot of parents listening who are experiencing this right now. Mm-hmm. Do you hold on tight? Do you throw your claws in and say, no, you can't, you need to do this? Or do you let them explore and pray that it comes back? Or, you know, how do you handle that? That's a very, very difficult situation.
It is a very difficult situation. And I have experienced this too. If you're going to put your heels in, set your heels in, and you're going to grab your claws out, like you said, and, you know, hold on, no, you aren't going to do this. No, you will, or what have you, you are going to get greater resistance than you can ever imagine. And you don't want that. Let them explore. Keep praying. Absolutely. I think you also need to have your boundaries as far as, quote, what you let them explore, what you're allowing in your house. If you have a teen in your house, I don't believe that as a Christian, I don't think I want them exploring witchcraft. I don't think I want them bringing those kind of materials into my home. I don't want them bringing any materials that I am strongly against that into my home. I might say to them, you may explore this, you may experience this, but I don't want this material in my home. And let that be a boundary, because we also need a lot of boundaries. And let that be a boundary and say, you draw the line on that one. This is not happening. You will not do this in my home. And you will not bring whatever it is into my home. And set your ones on that. And those are certain things that you pick and choose like that are really you draw the line in sand of that, but you also can't be so nasty about it either. And you can't be so beat them over the head either, because that doesn't work anyway. Let them explore, keep praying. Oh, you just pray and never give up, but you keep praying. And it may be years. It may be truly, truly years. So, because I've experienced that. Yes. So.
There's a couple of things that you said I want to reiterate to those people who are identifying with what you're saying right now. The first is setting boundaries, but also letting them explore. And that's a fine line and a great balance that I think is not easy, but really important. The setting the boundaries, when I hear you talk about it, you're setting boundaries on yourself, actually. You're saying, I don't want to see that. That is not in my home. You're setting boundaries. And by setting your own boundaries on what you're willing to accept in your house or in your area, right? You are also leading by example without saying, absolutely shutting it down for them. So you're still allowing them, but they're now you're making it a lot more difficult, right? But it's also mm-hmm. very discouraging to them. And that's the message they need to hear. But you're setting boundaries is really role modeling your own beliefs. And yes. it's loud and clear to kids. They can hear it. Yes. They may rebel and not want to hear it, but they hear it anyway. Mm-hmm. So something to think about, parents. And the second thing you said that I really want to hone in on is that these are not overnight problems that are going to be solved. And so it's something that you might have to be very, very patient with, because it could take a while to resolve itself. And so I know that's not something we want to hear, but it is something that you should hear so that you can have a little bit of patience with your child. So it's very, very important.
It is very important. To give you an example, I'm living that. My oldest child, and I have to be respectful here, absolutely, of my children, not to, throw anybody under the bus, because that's not a good thing either. But my oldest child, he still is a prodigal child. And this has been happening since 2006. And that is a long time to be walking this. But like I said, I'm still walking through this, but I've totally overcome totally the peace. The strength that I have now is not anything like it was when I could crumble up in a heap and just cry all the time. But I'm not there. I am totally not there. Not at all. Not even close to resemble that. So yes, some parents can be 6 months. Sometimes like this, it is many years, many, many years, but I'd never give up hope. I just don't. And I maintain that relationship with a deep relationship with my child. So
now, what are some action steps a parent can take to help their self in these difficult times with all the emotions running through them?
Yeah. And it is difficult. Well, one, I'm going to say, let go of the child. Let's just let go. You're not going to fix them. You don't want to try to fix them. That ends in nothing good, more rebellion. So just let them go. Let God deal with them and release them up to God and say, they're yours, not mine. I can't handle this anymore. I can't fix them. So I need to deal with myself and deal with my emotions and not worry about other things. Another thing is to write things down. You've got journaling is big. I know people are big into journaling these days. Write down all of your pain, every single emotion, write it down. Write down your disappointment. You mentioned this at the very beginning. We all have disappointment. Disappointment of, I'll never walk my daughter down the aisle. Disappointment of, we didn't have a big family wedding. Disappointment of, the children being born and we don't ever get to see them. I mean, there are just so many disappointments, never having that mother-daughter time together and that laughter. Those are disappointments of things that are in the past that are gone. You can never get back, but you can always hope for the future. Write down all your fears. We have fears too, that the bad things that we think could happen to them, write them down. So write all those things down and then release them. Give them up to God. Say, I can't handle them. I can't deal with them. These are real things that have hurt me, that my pain, the disappointments, the fears, and God, you got to take them. You got to deal with them. You got to help me and look for the positives. Absolutely. Look for the positives, because there are positives. Think about what your child is doing that is good, what your child has done that is good. So, that's planted in them. So write those things down too, all the different positives you have. Another one is to de-stress. Get some activities to be able to de-stress, because there is unbelievable stress, like I said, we put on our shoulders. And whether it's you're able to do a spa day every once in a while, whether it's, getting your nails done, whether it's walking every single morning, prayer walks are fabulous. Whether it's just getting on the phone with a girlfriend and, just letting it release. But it's got to be somebody that you trust and somebody that's a confident. So do some of those activities that make you feel good. Anything that makes you feel good. And I'm not going to suggest that you get the old credit card and you go to the store and you rack up a big bill, because that's not anything good. And that only adds to your stress. So don't do that one. Okay. You know, just think of the good things that are, you know, what we should be doing, that you're not going to stress you out even more. Okay. So do some activities that de-stress you. Another thing is, I'm going to say cry. Oh my goodness. It's okay to cry. Okay. It's okay to cry. It truly is. It's okay that if you have to be a heap on the floor or the bathroom floor with the, you know, the ugly cry, you know, the snot running out of your nose, ugly cry, terrible, you know, don't look at the mirror to see what you're looking like. No, no, no. But truly, if you're on the floor. But I'm also going to tell you too, put a time limit on it. Put a time limit on it. You don't want to stay where you're at. You don't want to stay stuck. You don't want to stay depressed. You don't want to stay miserable. You don't want to stay in the blame game. You don't want to stay any of those things. So cry all you need, blubber all you need, but put a time limit on it, okay? Because you don't want to be stuck there.
Before you move on, I want to make a comment to that one, because that one's my favorite so far. You really need to let it out, your emotions. You can't bottle it in, because it's just going to fester and get worse. So you do need that ugly cry on the bottom of the bathroom floor to let it out. And maybe it's more than one day, but I also love the time on it. At some point, all the emotions need to be let out, but then there's a time also to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Yes. and start making those baby steps to move forward. And that's just as important as letting it out. So I love that suggestion. Just really great. What else do you have for us?
Well, and the last one I'm going to say, because just to piggyback exactly what you just said, then go get some help. Whether you've got a great confidant that you truly trust, that is very wise person also, that can just sit there and listen, and then say, okay, give me some wise advice. And you want to pick somebody that truly has wise advice. They can see things in a black and white way. And they're not going to just caress your ego as a parent, but they're going to say, okay, I'm seeing this, or I'm seeing this. Maybe you could, or maybe whatever. That is really important. So whether you have a friend that you can just call at the drop of a hat, whether you go for some counseling, because counseling can be really big. Whether you go for coaching, you know, I'm into the coaching. So whether you go for some coaching of somebody that has lived this, you know, and it makes a difference too, if you talked with somebody that has actually lived and gone through this. So go get some help. And that way also, you're not going to stay there and get stuck and stay stuck, which is not good at all.
I love all these suggestions, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to brainstorm, because if you have made it to this part in the video, not only are you going through this, because I know you're listening still and you're resonating for what we're saying. I know you're going to listen on to a little bit more of this brainstorming, because I want to go back to those emotions that you feel, and you happen to name four top emotions. So what I'd like to do really quick, like, is go back to them, and let's start with embarrassment. One of the emotions that you're going to feel when this happens to you as a parent is embarrassment. Quick, throw out some things that help alleviate the embarrassment. And one of those off the top of my head is, like, you have to change your mindset. You are obviously caring about what other people think if you're embarrassed. So how do we stop caring about what other people think? Because that's really where the embarrassment is coming from.
Yes. And like I said, also too, that not everybody knows. We're embarrassed and we think everybody knows, and not everybody knows. So get that mindset right there off of you, that not everybody knows. I know I've come into over the past here of the years, and with discussion with different people who come across, and I may make a comment. It's like, I didn't know that. The people that you may think that truly are in the know of the gossip. So get that out of your brain, that the embarrassment is because not everybody knows. And why should you care? Really, when we think about it, why should you care what people think? Are they living your life? And the answer to that is no. Are they walking in your shoes? The answer to that is no. Only you are. Maybe you and your husband. Maybe you're walking by yourself, but only you are walking in your shoes, not everybody else. So why should you worry about them and how they may possibly dictate your life and thoughts and emotions and what have you, and conversation, when they're not living your life and they probably don't even know about it anyway. And the ones that you should worry about are the ones who are going to really care for you and support you and have great empathy and great sympathy and great love for you. And those are the ones that you want to, you know, have care about you, and you care about what they think, and they're already not doing the embarrassment and the shame thing on you anyway. So,
and a lot of those people that you are embarrassed that they might know, they don't care either. I mean, they're really probably just, it's also surface level care. What do they care about? They care about maybe that they might or may not know. And after that, they don't care crap. And so it's so surface level. We need to let that go as parents so that we can parent better and take care of ourselves and get rid of the embarrassment, parents. Yeah. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Burn it
up. And you know what? Remember too, they may be going through something that you don't even know yourself.
Absolutely.
They may be living the embarrassment life themselves because they're going through, who knows, the same thing with their children, maybe a divorce or maybe things behind closed doors that we don't know about, but they think everybody knows about. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Throw it out.
And like you said, you can write it on a piece of paper, burn it up, like literally, symbolically throw it out.
Yes.
Now let's get to guilt. That was the second feeling that you said that is really, really common. I'm going to agree with you there. So how do we alleviate the guilt? And guilt is going to start coming from, you know, those what if statements. How could I have stopped this? What did I do wrong? You're somehow accepting some responsibility for your child's choices in order to feel guilt.
Yes.
Did you hear that, parents? That's where your guilt's coming from. So how do we alleviate the guilt?
Well, first of all, you remember I mentioned that your child, I didn't do the action. I didn't do all the many actions, I should say, in my case, I didn't do it. So why should I feel guilty about something that I didn't do? And put the positive spin on as far as you did raise them the best that you could and look at all the positives that you did do and that your child is doing. But the big one for me is to remember that they have free will. They made the choices. I didn't. And we all can make choices about anything and say, yes, I'll do that. No, I won't. And I'm not going to be guilty about that, because you can only be guilty for the actions that you have done.
Yeah. And, so parents, it's their life to live. It's their choice. It's their life to live.
Yep. Major time.
Yes. And give yourself grace, because you tried your best. And parents, we cannot be perfect. We can't. We can't be perfect. We're not perfect beings. We can't be perfect. And we're not definitely going to be perfect parents. So it really comes down to, did you try your best? And man, I know that the people I work with, they do, they try their best. And sometimes their kids make some undesirable choices. Absolutely. It happens all the time. It does not mean that you are a bad parent because your child made an undesirable choice. And then there's shame. That's the third feeling you talked about. And shame is a lot like the embarrassment in a lot of ways. So tell us a little bit more about how you, in your opinion, would you help a parent who's just feeling so much shame?
Well, you're feeling shame is this, like you said, it goes hand in hand a lot of times with the embarrassment there, that you put that on there, shame on me for whatever, shame on me. We hear that kind of thing. Shame on you. Don't ever put that on your shoulders. Don't ever say shame on me, because it should never be there to begin with. And so we got to take, it's always comes back to the positives and be proud of your parenting. Be proud of what you've done. Instead of the shame thing, say, I am proud of my parenting. I am proud of who I am and how I set the example for my child. I am proud of that. And that's the opposite of shame, being proud. I don't mean boastful kind of thing, prideful, but there's a difference in that kind of proud as compared to the shame, the opposite of it. Yeah.
And the last one is hope. And with hope, it's how are we going to maintain that hope, or do we need to let it go? I'd actually like your opinion on that.
Oh, you have to maintain hope. I think if you don't maintain hope, then you have given up. And if you've given up, then you say, I'm defeated. You say, things will never change. You say that it'll always be this way. And therefore, you're allowing yourself to crawl back in the hole that you're trying to get out of, or you did get out of. If you give up hope, I'm telling you, you're just in for some misery, and you're just in for not a good life, quite honestly, if you give up hope. You just can't give up hope. You just can't.
How do we maintain the hope when our child is making us so discouraged and frustrated and just, again, all those feelings? How do we keep hope?
Well, for me as a Christian, then I have a lot of Bible verses that I stand on, and I quote, and I say, and I speak out loud. That's a big deal for me. Giving hope is always in prayer and saying, God, you got this. And if you believe God's got this, and you speak that, God, you've got this. God, you have my child in your hands. God, you love him or her more than I do. And that's a big hope right there, because God doesn't want anybody to perish. God's not going to let go of anybody. The child may let go, but God will never let go. And so if I think of those kind of things, and I stand on his word, then that is huge hope to me. That gives me a lot of hope. Absolutely. Even if it's years down the road, like it's been for me, you just continue to do that.
And I think over time, the hope can change. You can hope for one thing for your child, and as you see them grow and develop and make their own choices, the hope can shift into something different. It's never going to go away. I think you keep that hope, like you were saying, but it doesn't mean that the hope has to stay the same for years. The hope can shift. It can mold. It can look differently in a few years later. You know, one time you might just keep up hope that your child might, as we were referring to, maybe coming back to you, the religion that you are, you can hope for that. And maybe over time, instead of hoping for them to come back to your religion, maybe you're just hoping they find their own religion, and they have that bigger, the sense that there's something bigger out there. But not necessarily has to be your particular belief. Like I said, the hope can shift, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I think that's important to note if you're here. And if people are resonating with what we're saying, how can they find out more from you?
Well, I am on Instagram, The Laura Rutter. I am on Facebook under Laura Rutter. And this is LauraRudder. And a website you can go to, laurarudder.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. It's
very impactful
to so many right now. And if you want to become a more impactful parent, check out all what my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, 30-day challenges, and lots of free resources. And if you have an inspiring story that you want to share so that the audience can learn from you, please go to theimpactfulparent.com, go to the Work With Me page, and scroll to the bottom and sign up. But until next time, you got this, parents. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.